Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott review Taramahill Old Vine Monastrell from Spain. Further, they have a discussion about art museums and parenting and the movie Dirty Dancing. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight I am joined by Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
Yellow, folks.
Oh, folks, tonight, this is a good night.
Oh, we're excited.
We have.
I'm excited. How about you? I'm excited. How about you?
We have a really great wine, an award-winning wine.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Highly reviewed wine, and it is Bodegas Volver Tamara Hill Old Vines. It's a Mourvèdre from Spain. There's one word I want you to listen to within there. Volver. And I think you've heard me mention Volver before. Volver is a wine made by, well, Bodegas Volver. But it's a Tempranillo. This is, their Tamara Hill is their Mourvèdre, which...
We love Mourvèdre.
We really like Mourvèdre. And we really like Spanish Mourvèdre, which this is. This is exciting because I've seen this on wine.com for quite some time because it's gotten some really high reviews. Wine Spectator, they gave it 92 of their points, and I'll go through that review a little bit later. And Jeb Dunnock, whose name reminds me of a hockey puck, he gave it 93 of his points.
Yeah, hockey puck.
I know.
Don Rickles reference.
He's from Colorado, I do believe, so that might, well, you know. And it was number 17 in the Wine Spectator Top 100 of 2017. So that's pretty impressive.
It's consistently getting scores in the 90s.
Yes.
Parker in 2014, 2011,
mm-hmm.
2012, Spectator consistently, well, 90, also, 91.
Jeb Dunnock used to be one of the reviewers for Parker.
Oh.
So he is, I mean, you know, he didn't do Spanish wines. I think he did... Washington and I want to say certain parts of France that might have been his area of expertise because they carve up certain areas of the world.
Okay.
And each person specializes and focuses on that area. But so he most recently, because what he was, a aeronautical engineer, I think.
Huh.
And maybe for, it didn't matter, one of the bigger places. And so then he knew about wine, and he had some sort of, I think he called it the Rhone Report. Oh, yeah, Rhone. And caught Parker's eye, hired him, working full-time doing that. Eventually, I think he realized he could, you know, make money by himself and not have to, you know, get a salary, whatever. Because Parker went online only, and they charge a yearly subscription of $100. So it's unlimited, whatnot. But you don't get that periodical anymore. So Dunnock just started his own website with his own service, charging $100 a year. Same thing. It's like, okay, well, whatever. But if you do the math, how many people do you really need to make a really nice living at $100 a pop for a year?
A few,
yeah. But nevertheless, I think he probably has
more than 100.
He might have more following than the Wine Vault. Who knows?
He might.
But we're free.
Yeah, we're free.
Yes, we are. We're cheap. So, folks.
And entertaining.
I think he also has very, like, the flowing, slick back hair that kind of looks messy.
Kind of like mine?
No.
Yeah, flowing, slick back.
He actually is handsome. You're not.
I'm quite handsome and charming.
No. I know to both. So, folks, with that revelation that is not a surprise to anyone.
Where's Naz when I need him?
Who? Oh, Naz. Oh, God. We are going to take a break, and we're going to come back right here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed Taxi Driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. And we're back, folks. So the 2015 Bodegas Volver Tamara Hill Old Vines Mauvedre. Some technical notes. 14 months of French oak.
I'm just going to hum.
And this wine hails from the Pinoso Dio. And Pinoso is part of Alicante. Oh. And for those that know Alicante, and that's not Scott, but Alicante is on the so it's on the Mediterranean Sea. Yeah. This is just a touch inland in a more mountainous area. And this is really known for some great wines. It's not as well known as, say, Rioja or, you know, things like that. But it is a very good area. It's just a smaller area. So very good wines come from there. This is also done on 14 months of French oak, which is, I think you'll like, Scott.
Yeah, and isn't there an Alicante varietal?
Yeah, Alicante there's stuff from Boucher. Alicante. Alicante Boucher. Yeah, I know, yeah.
Boucher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same area. Same area. But the Wine Speculator, with 92 of their points, they said, this red shows grace and depth. Black cherry, plum, mineral, and smoke flavors mingle harmoniously over well-integrated tannins, while lively acidity keeps this focused. Not showy, but all the pieces fit together. Balanced in a modern style. Drink now through 2025.
You know, if you hadn't said that was Wine Spectator's review... When the word harmonious, do they have to insert that in every fucking review?
Yeah, I know. And Jeb Dunnick says, from old vines and aged 14 to 16 months in French oak. I'm looking at the actual tech sheet, and they say 14 months, Jeb, so you're wrong. The 2015 Tamara Hill sports an inky color. It does.
It does.
As well as a smoking bouquet of black raspberries, blueberries, pepper, and dried flowers.
Mm.
It's broad, expansive, sweetly fruited, with a great mid-palate and sweet tannin.
Sweet tannin.
It's a sexy fruit bomb done with class. With an exclamation
mark. Yeah, that concerns me. The exclamation mark concerns me.
Why? A sexy fruit bomb.
I have a friend who he hates exclamation marks. He just doesn't. His point is he doesn't trust anybody who puts exclamation marks in emails or texts.
When do you use them in a sentence?
When you're yelling at somebody? When you're excited?
How do you yell at somebody in writing? I do, but other than me.
You do. You do.
My wife said if I don't get so angry, maybe my blood pressure wouldn't be so bad.
You, note to self, she might be right.
Because I said earlier today, I was getting like worked up about something, and I said, this might be, I might bottle this for the show. She goes, no, you might not want to. I went, yeah, you're right. Maybe I shouldn't. So.
But you will.
I know.
That's exactly what we're going to talk
about. I can't
about.
Even remember what I was pissed off about at the time. But this wine right here. I know what I was pissed off about. Something stupid. So it's not even worth it. The wine. First of all, Jeff.
I don't hear stupid. Come on.
Then talk to yourself.
Did you have a cane?
So, the wine. Inky black is right. A little bit of a purple rim. Crimson purple rim.
It's just on the verge of inky. We've had dark.
Just on the verge. Yeah.
It's dark. It's dense.
Ooh. On the nose, I will agree.
Wow.
Crushed blackberries.
Wow. Wow. What a nose.
I hope Jeb is right because he gave it a 93, for God's sakes.
Wow.
But yeah, black raspberries. I don't really smell dried flowers that often. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, I do. You pull away from it and you realize that's what you just smelled. It's a secondary smell. The floral element is layered underneath that raspberry. It was very awesome.
It's like a lengthy finish in your mouth.
Yeah.
This has a lengthy nose.
Kind of smells like a urinal. No, it doesn't smell like a urinal.
Mentholated alcohol.
Well, that does There's smell a little mentholated.
I mean, but it's nice. It's subtle. I would almost call it like, not even menthol, almost like peppermint.
Oh yeah, the mintiness of the mint in the toilet. Yes, that's what I was suggesting. I mean, a waxy mintiness.
Oh my lord!
I know, but it doesn't smell like that, folks. I'm just
doesn't Triple B weaned you off
no.
eating those things? That's not a mint. You're not supposed to eat those things.
I think no one thought that I was, but that's okay.
Except that we all know you do.
Okay.
Counseling. Don't you have an EAP program?
Why don't you wear another halter top? You talked about wearing a tube top last time.
I said tube tops are back in.
Not for men.
I don't need a tube top.
And not for women. Where do you see these women wearing fucking tube tops?
I'm telling you, buddy.
Just because you go on websites.
Look in the fashion web. Look in fashion.
They would wear a cheetah's head on top of their head. Oh my God.
I'm just saying.
I mean, do you see... Okay, on the runway, they walk down...
Yes.
Buck naked. And they're like, you know, hey, look at the new fashion. That's not fashion. I've not seen anybody naked. See-through clothes. I've seen that before. There's no see-through clothes in public. It's the newest.
Let me reel you back in.
It's made out of saran wrap. No, it's not. And leaves. No, it's not.
Wine.com does that little teaser thing at the bottom of the page. Items similar to Bodegas, Volver, Tara Mahill, Old Vines, 2015. Want to guess what they list there?
What's that?
Hecula.
No, okay.
The 2015.
Let me tell you this. If it tastes like rattlesnake venom. Oh, well, 2015. Yeah, fuck the 2015 Hecula. We're talking about the 13 Hecula. The 15,
by the way,
I understand.
I'm call and order that too tomorrow.
Good. The 15 Hecula is not nearly as good as the 13 from what I have seen. The 13 is freaking. Folks, 13 Hecula, we have ourselves. We found a source, a dealer, as it was. Or were.
Damn, the pusher man.
It's very potent. It's just, it'll get you. Yeah. This wine, though.
Let's go in.
You can almost taste it on the nose. It's that fleshy. That blackberry is so fleshy. It almost has a flavor to the aroma. I don't even know what to say.
It's a mouth-watering nose, for sure. I don't want to be disappointed. I'm hesitant. I'm going in there, folks.
Okay. Let's start off. It has a little more panache. It's more refined than Hecula. First of all, let's start off with that. Hecula is like if a serial killer, if a Leatherface got hold of a bulldozer and was just plowing people down in a thoroughfare, that's Hecula. That's the best way I can describe Hecula, which is a compliment, by the way. I don't know why. That's a good thing? Yeah, I don't know.
You know, I expected your normal snake venom rant.
No, that's tired. I was trying to find a new kind of, way. Oh, and no one's ever said that before. Not even Steve Bodie. Right now he's like, damn it, I can't quote myself saying that. It's like, no, you can't.
But he can quote himself quoting you saying that.
He can, but he doesn't want to quote me. Because then you'd actually have to put it in quotation marks.
No, I don't think so.
He had to cite it. Rob said, the man that I worship.
I think he despises you.
What does that even mean, what it just said? That means something. No,
it doesn't.
It's just, it's psychotic, powerful.
You're getting red-faced. I'm worried. Are we having a sulfite reaction?
No, I was using cocaine before we got on the show.
Damn it. It's Fletch. It's a modern problem. That's right. It's a modern problems episode. That's
right. It is unabashedly mauvais dry. It has a lovely, expansive mouthfeel. It's medium-bodied. The tannins, though, are very, very grippy. Very, very powerful.
Oh, my gosh. And they express themselves immediately.
Yeah.
When you're waffling air over it, those tannins are ever present.
Mm-hmm.
This sucker has some time, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even sure this is a drink now wine. This
not,
is very...
I would wait till after 2020 at least.
Oh, my good Lord.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's the thing. I think once it gets its stride, then it's going to tail off. But it isn't at its peak yet. What I'm saying is, it's not going to have a 10-year window. I think it has a 3 or 4-year window. Because wines can have that. They can reach their peak, but in 5 years, but not have another 10. You know what I'm saying? That's one thing we all often forget. You could say, well, drink a best after 2024, for instance. Someone will say that. That doesn't mean in 2034 it's still going to be good. That means sometimes after 2024 is when you want to give it a try, but it's not going to have like this long length. I think this needs time, but once it hits its stride, that's when you'll want to drink it.
Because these tannins are so big in this.
Yeah.
It just demands some time. It just does. But they're already there. I wouldn't describe this as rustic. This is elegant. These tannins, you know they're going to develop into something nice.
This wine is uptown. It is sleek.
This is uptown.
It is just, it has its three-piece suit on. It knows what it is. And it's stylish.
Let's talk about this mouthfeel. Because in my opinion, there's a couple things going on in the mouthfeel.
Sure.
First of all, the mouthfeel, it is not a mouthfeel where it just pops in and it's gone. You've got this coating of the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
It's not exactly oily, but it's like glycerin in that it coats the tongue and it kind of has a stickiness to it.
Well, if we said it before, it has a raciness to it. It's very sleek and it almost goes where it wants to go effortlessly. You enjoy the experience, but it isn't weighty. Like I said, it's medium bodied, a full medium bodied, not a heavy medium bodied, but it's medium bodied. I would say Hecula is full bodied. Hecula is like wine concentrate, where you probably should add a drop of it to 15 gallons of water to make a normal wine. This wine knows a little bit more what it is.
Hecula,
seriously, takes a 3-hour decant.
Hecula is just, it's raw, it's rustic. It is rustic. As you called it, snake venom. But it's got a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
This
has a lot going on, too. But it's uptown.
So talk about the mouthfeel for you. The other thing on the mouthfeel for me that just towards the end, it just pops back in. It's like the mouthfeel reappears. Mm-hmm. It's usually a mouthfeel, as you're processing the mid palate, that's when it shows up. But usually you coat the tongue and then it's gone. Well, this, mm-hmm. you have this mouthfeel and you're like, oh, that's nice. And then it dissipates. And then all of a sudden, during the finish, there's that coating of the tongue again. It's bizarro.
Astringency.
It's just a different expression of astringency?
Yeah. It's astringent. So it does have astringencies quite a bit, and that comes with the tannin. But what really is nice is that crushed blackberry that has just a very pure quality to it. Very, very clean, pure quality. And it's heady. As a fruit bomb, I think that Dunnock overplays it a little bit because there's a strong mineral streak that runs through there too. Not out of balance, not something that someone would find objectionable, but it's a good counterbalance to that crushed blackberry.
Like right at the beginning of the finish.
Yeah, and it runs the whole length, really.
The whole length?
I think so.
The minerality?
The minerality is there, and it's real.
Describe that minerality for me.
Well,
I'm going to search that out.
I wouldn't call it red meat because it doesn't quite go to that strength. We're talking just a straight loaminess that's right streaking right through the middle of it. The tannins are pronounced, though, and they really don't let a lot go on.
No. So tannic.
There could be plum with, obviously, Spectator says black cherry. That's not there. Plum, a little bit mineral. That's fine. Smoke, I don't quite get because it doesn't come across that way. And I know the oak is there, but it's very subtle. Used oak, perhaps. But that really isn't what this wine is about.
No.
Let's see. What do they say? Dunnock says black raspberries, yes. Blueberries, okay. I mean, mix it in there. Pepper. That's something. Let's just see here. Although he says sweetly fruited. I guess if you're talking about the blackberry, that's fine, but.
Well, where the sweetest part of the fruit for me is once you get through everything and that finish lingers, that fruit just kind of continues to express mm-hmm. itself. That, for me, is the sweetest expression of the fruit in the wine at the mm-hmm. finish.
Yeah.
And that is maybe, honestly, maybe that's the elegance of the wine.
Well, it is. It has an elegance to it. It's one but of these wines that...
re-expression of the fruit at the end.
This would be a wine that you would not be ashamed to pour. I mean, say they didn't know what it was. Ever.
Ever.
But with any meal to any clientele, I think they would find it to be elegant.
If you don't like this wine, then you don't like red wine.
Oh, yeah.
This is... So...
It checks all the boxes that you want, but it also still has a vibrance. And like I've said many times before, I like a wine that tastes fresh, tastes alive. This wine tastes fresh.
It tastes fresh, but in a different way than we usually talk about something tasting fresh. This tastes fresh in that it's young and that it's got some time to it and it needs that. Mm-hmm. So it tastes, it's fresh in that manner. Mm-hmm. This has an elegance that I normally wouldn't describe as fresh. But so coming at, if you don't like this, then I question whether you really like red wine. Hecula's
not for everybody. No, it's not. No.
I had a friend. She's got some wine chops. Hecula wasn't her baby.
You have to have serious wine chops to really...
It was not her baby. We decanted for 45 minutes. And
no.
When I shared it with her, she didn't make a comment, which meant she didn't like it.
It would be like being punched in the face every time you took a drink. It's that powerful. But say, did you put tequila in my wine?
This is, if you don't like this, you don't like red wine. True. And I'm just thinking of some varietals, types. Ravenswood county specific line, the Napa. If you don't like Ravenswood, Old Vine, Napa, you don't like red wine. If you don't like
Segesio Zinfandel.
What's the bottle of cab we had? Oh, Rodney Strong.
Knights Valley?
The Knights Valley.
Oh, yeah, that's really great.
If you don't like that, you don't like red wine.
Some people, I would say Justin, but they're pissed off because it's Paso style.
That chocolate thing.
Yeah, they get passed off about Paso.
But it's for me, this is that category. Yep. This is just... Mm-hmm. And it's not because it's every man wine or every woman wine. It's just this is what red wine should be. Big tannins. Dry. Complexity. What this has that maybe some of those other ones that I just mentioned don't have is this has that elegance, that length in the finish, that...
Damn good wine.
It's just...
It's damn good. You know, I think back. Several years ago, we went to... Triple B and I went to D.C. and her friend, Mary, don't call me Scott.
Hello, Mary, don't call me Scott.
Used to live in D.C. Now she lives in San Francisco. And we went out to dinner with her and her, let's just say, the person that she used to be married to, who's a shitbird.
Anyway,
you went to dinner. Yeah, fuck that guy. But anyway, still that guy. Went to a Spanish tapas restaurant.
Mm.
Really good. What did we have as a wine? Well, what did I have as a wine? Predominantly me.
Vulvar.
Regular Vulvar. Now, Vulvar itself, the regular Vulvar is Tempranillo. Tempranillo, not this. And it's from La Mancha, not from Alicante. But I'll tell you what, their wines, this and Vulvar. And by the way, folks, guess what we have in the wine vault? Vulvar. We have Vulvar. Thanks to the unlicensed. But also me.
I'm not sure I've ever seen you as excited.
I like Vulvar.
Your voice was so high.
I like
the night that I brought these over.
Well, this is pretty cool. I was been lusting after this wine, but there are a few wines that I really like, and they're all Spanish, pretty much. There's Volver, Romanico. We like that.
Oh, we love that Romanico.
Romanico, though, is like a poor man's. And there's also, well, Numancia. I like Numancia, and I bought some Termes recently. I like Termes, but I like the regular Numancia as well. That's Numancia snake venom as well. But we also like Hecula.
Oh.
Las Gravas is another one. There's a, well, it's Casa Castillo, Las Gravas. Although Casa Castillo has gone up like a freaking rocket. Was it $40?
Yeah.
It was 20.
Damn.
That's good. It's damn good. So I love, well, Condado de Aza, which is, you know, yeah, that's, where the hell is that from? Ribera del Duero. I enjoy it. Pesquera. We have Pesquera.
Oof.
We had Condado de Aza at, in Vegas.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the beauty part, folks, if you ever find Condado de Aza anywhere, that's something you should buy and put in your cellar, because I will say this because of personal experience. That ages gloriously. I've done, I don't know, 4 or 5 different vintages of it, and I still have one. I have one Condado, and I have one from, and one Pesquera in the wine vault.
De Aza?
Condado de Aza.
The Ribera?
Yeah, Ribera del Duero. Definitely worth purchasing.
$25.
Yes. They're cheap, and they're wonderful, and they can age. Glorious. But guess what? This is cheap. It's wonderful, and it can age. And this is what, $17.99? $16.99, folks. This wine, $16.99. Let me say this again. $17.
So let's play that game.
$17.
Let's play that game.
Okay, how much would it be pay?
Yeah. $40.
I wouldn't be surprised if someone told me that this wine cost $40.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't be unhappy to pay $40 for this wine.
Absolutely not. Tasting it, I know it's European, though. If someone asked me what I thought it was, I would say I would be between Spanish and something from Languedoc. Because it has a little bit of that minerality that the Languedocs have.
A little big for a Languedoc, though.
Bia Holt was pretty damn big, but Bia Holt also had far more minerality. It was red meat.
Bia Holt had that bite you thing. Like Hecula did.
So it was. I'd be somewhere in between that, but I probably would meander back to Spain.
How fun is this, though?
That's
good. $18, $17 for this?
The nose is great, too. Get folks, when we talked about having an inexpensive cellar,
right
here it is.
And the Condado de Aza.
Yeah.
Hecula, if you can get your hands on it.
But you can't.
4 bottles of this.
Volver.
Son.
Romanico. I mean, we can keep going on and on and on and on, but these are wonderful wines. They're Spanish wines, but they're wonderful wines. Camblau.
Oh, my Lord. We love
like,
Camblau.
Yeah, we like that a lot. I mean, these are great, great wines that you can buy and enjoy the hell out of.
And we've liked the Spanish wines. The Hecula and this are the two that you just know that where they're going to perform after some time in the bottle.
Oh, yeah.
I could take time in a bottle.
I think the Hecula might outlast this one, but the Hecula is a... The Hecula is one of those rare breeds that just, there aren't, there's Hecula, and that's it. Hecula doesn't have, it's an anomaly. It really is.
At least that 2013 was.
It really was. And if you looked at it, it sold out. And they put a bottle limit on fucking wine.com for a $10. There's a reason for that, because everyone became wise to it.
It was so fucking good.
If you tasted it once, you knew. That wine was something different.
And we've got a source to order it by the case.
Yeah.
You know what? We should order a couple cases.
That's a lot. We don't need a couple cases. But still, calm down. We're going to take a break, and we're going to be right back here on the Wine Vault. We're back, folks. I decided to come back on the air, so if Scott was going to say anything more, things that were as heinous as what he was saying off the air, and racist, and sexist, homophobic, I don't know, whatever.
You're the one who admitted to watching Dirty Dancing.
I did. Tonight you're mine. No, is that in there? Completely. No, that was an interesting movie in the fact that it was made. It made a lot of money. I don't know. Because I watched it, and I went, it's fucking very good. It kind of actually made me wonder, because I'm you know what I was thinking about? Who the fuck goes to camps? But then again, I realized it was in the 60s when it was, but did they?
They called your it wife and all her friends.
But yes, but that's a church camp. This wasn't a church camp. This is like something they were paying money to go to, not $50. They paid like $75 to go.
It was a very in thing.
Was it?
Yes.
Well, I mean, that's back when you were 30 or 40. You probably took your family to many of those.
People went. It wasn't as much a camp as a summer resort.
Yeah, but who the hell wants to do dance lessons and shit like this? Is that fun? Was that fun then? I mean, you used to wear slacks a lot. I understand that. I mean, you wore slacks. That's what you wore.
Corduroy slacks.
Vroom, 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 yes. Vroom. But, and you used starch
a lot. Plaid shorts.
Plaid shorts.
Plaid shorts. I love plaid.
With tennis
shoes. Sucker?
Yeah. With dress shoes and socks.
No. Brown suede shoes.
Yes, with socks and shorts.
No socks.
Oh, that's nice.
That's worse.
But no. So it was a family resort kind of thing?
In the movie? You just watched it.
My kids would cut. Well, they probably would like it, but they're 5'3" and just born. But
I'm sure they have salad at the resort, so Ellie would be happy.
Yes, but a teenage girl, older girls, I think would like actually murder their parents in their sleep if they drug them to that, wouldn't they?
That's enter Patrick Swayze.
Well, yeah, of course that's going to happen.
And today he'd be part of the Me Too movement. He's a dance instructor taking advantage of this underage girl.
See, they forget about that part, don't they? Because she was not of age, was she?
No, she was not of age.
Okay, so there's a problem right there.
Baby does what baby wants.
See, it's analyzing the movie. No, wasn't she going to college? She was 18, I think.
No, her sister was going to college.
No, she was going to college. Watch it again.
She was going to go to college.
Yes, in the fall, I think. Look at that. Because it was like the owner's grandson was also going to school. Yeah, I think that's what happened. I think she might have been 18-ish. Yeah, I know.
You turn the sound up.
I know, you like this song.
I love this song.
But it disturbs Triple B.
Baby, you.
Yeah.
You got what I need.
You probably actually said this to people. Never worked.
No, girls definitely said this. Oh, he's just a friend.
They were pointing at you when they said that. Well, and they meant it.
No.
Yeah. Back to Dirty Dancing. But no, you'll find, I think she was 18 ish.
Oh my God.
Well, they're not going to say how old was baby, but how old was Patrick Swayze though? That's a question. You don't like Dirty Dancing though. I can tell you. Right.
The actress, Jennifer Grey, was actually 27 years old when she portrayed 17-year-old Frances Baby Houseman.
Okay, well, that's inappropriate then. I don't know.
Oh, now it's inappropriate.
Well, that's not cool. Well, I don't think we'd make that movie today, would we?
I would hope not.
It goes down in the Fletch Lives category. We're not going to make that. We're not going to make Dirty Dancing.
But I think it's understood that Patrick Swayze didn't do anything with Baby.
Oh, I think he did.
No, they didn't have sex.
She said she did. To her dad.
But she lied.
No, she wasn't lying.
To piss him off. It was her sister who had the sex, and she got pregnant. Wasn't that the theme of the movie?
No, that was a fucking...
Wasn't there an abortion?
Yes, it was Patrick Swayze's friend, who was the dancer.
That's it. It was the dancer.
And it was a waiter that was dating her sister.
But he got blamed for it.
Well, he accepted responsibility because her baby's dad said, who's responsible for this woman? And he said, I am, simply because he thought he should be. Because
he was a good man.
That's right. Then he bangs a 17-year-old.
I don't think they had sex.
They had sex, Scott. Watch the movie. I'm going to make you watch Dirty Dancing now just to see that. You probably want to watch that. But
no.
It's Jennifer Grey before Nose Job. Now, after that, you're like, who is that? Why'd she do that? I mean, everyone knew what she looked like without a nose job. Just, and obviously you got parts and people liked you without a nose job. So why would you get a nose job? Didn't make any sense.
No direct hit on did Baby have sex in Dirty Dancing.
You probably just got put on a list. Why are you Googling this?
Because I don't think she did have sex. I don't think they did it.
They did it, Scott. They did it. What do you think? They were in bundling bags in their fucking bedroom. She slept the night with him. What did they do?
I don't think he did it. I think he was a good man. Played, he slept on the couch.
They played tic-tac-toe. He didn't have a fucking couch, man. He had a bungalow. And that's what the bungalow was about, sex. They had sex in the bungalow. God. You naive child. It's like talking. You know what? Someone should put you in the corner. That's all I'm saying. How the hell did we start talking about fucking Dirty Dancing anyway?
You brought it up.
I know it's my fault. Damn it. Jesus. You know what pisses me off? No, I'm just joking. We were at the Columbus Art Museum today. And the Columbus Art Museum doesn't piss me off. But it's small. But we took our hoard with us, which is daring. But they actually did quite well. They hated it, but they did quite well. I enjoy walking around and looking at the paintings that I know that they say are from like 1625, just because of the sheer age. I find that interesting. Yeah. It's like, well, that actually existed 400 years ago. That's pretty cool. I enjoy that. Most of the pictures are religious oriented, simply because that was the only subject matter in the 1600s, as it were. But they said they had a children's area, and the Triple B said we should go because she thought it was Legos. And she thought it was a special exhibit. So we go in the special exhibit area. And I saw on the door when you walked in that you needed a special pass. But I don't know, you're supposed to be free on Sundays. Who the fuck cares? And in this special exhibit, it was... I believe what it was were... I don't think it was... I think it was non-artists, like kids and whatnot, talking about social issues. Well, and they wrote on drywall in black felt tip marker. Whatever. And like different social causes, you know, Me Too or, you know, Hands Up, Don't Shoot. I don't know the actual, I don't mean to offend anybody. I don't know the actual terminology. It was things like that. Okay. So we're walking around, walking through. There wasn't, I mean, it was shitty drawings on a fucking drywall. So finally we get to this guy. He goes, do you have your badges? What badges? Plastic badges? What? No? He goes, this is a pay-only exhibit. You have to pay up front, so I'm going to have to have you leave. I was like, well, show me the door. I said.
I'm glad I didn't pay.
I said, people pay for this? There's nobody in here. He goes, yes. I went, Becky goes, well, where's the elevator? Well, you can just go out this door. It's like, you know what? You are going to be a homeless person because you go to the School of Art and you probably suck. So go fuck yourself, buddy. But that's not what pisses me off. Well, first of all, you have a pay exhibit on a free day, and the pay exhibit is shitty.
Actually, so, that is what pissed you off, because obviously you're pissed off.
It did piss me off. I didn't realize that at the time. I was glad to leave that room. Henry goes, why are we leaving? Because this room is stupid. And we'd already...
We shouldn't be here. We didn't pay for it.
Who cared? We'd already seen it all anyway. What's the difference? We were going out that door regardless. So we went up and looked at the regular art, which I enjoyed. I don't think the kids enjoyed. Although they had this prism that this wonderful person that worked there, and I don't mean this facetiously, she was a lovely person. She came and started talking to the boys, and she asked him. And it was like this, it looked like a diamond, but it was large. Okay. I took a picture of it. And it had a sunflower kind of in it, and it had different. She goes, I like to look at this when I'm sitting down. Why don't you sit down on the floor with me? So they did. And looking at it, she goes, how much do you think that weighs? And it weighed 1,100 pounds.
Wow.
It was the only person in that whole fucking museum that interacted with the boys. And it was on Sundays, children and families are free.
Wow.
What's the point of your museum if you're not interacting with the children?
Well, and...
And all of these, all the people around there, they're not security guards. They're people probably, I think, at work, that they go to school at the art museum. Or art school. The
college, CCAD.
That's the purpose of the day. Make sure they interact with the children, not to stand around on their fucking phones. Well, and that's what they were doing.
And particularly on a family day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't take much. You know, have four or five pieces that you know a little bit about and have something.
Well, they weren't talking to anybody.
Yeah, that's
this is worthless. So they have a children's area. Now, I know I might offend some people out there. I'm sure I've done
what?
Okay.
It's about time you recognized.
We go to the children's area and they had children's activities. And my wife once again thought it was Legos. Walk in and there's like a loom for the kids.
Somebody else mentioned to me that there was a Lego exhibit.
Well, there ain't.
Damn it.
They had a loom to weave shit in because kids like to do that. There were quilts and shit because kids like quilts.
It was a wonderful funeral. How did your son die? It was a looming accident.
I know.
At the Columbus Museum of Art.
There was a lot
family
of,
day.
There were a lot of pipe.
There was no one there that spoke to us. No one spoke to the children and warned them about the dangers of looms. It was unguarded. My son died. Horrible death.
Let me know when your joke's done. Oh, it's done. Okay, good. They had pipe cleaner exhibits.
Oh my God.
Parents, I know there's some of you out there that say, I want my kids to only have interactive activities. I want these things to be enriching. First of all, kids like to pretend like they're blowing shit up. Let kids be kids. And if you don't agree with me, go fuck yourself because you're a shitty person.
So go get run over
by your fucking minivan. Let me finish.
If our listeners don't think that children should blow things up,
or you pretend to blow shit up. Oh yeah, I mean you're a fucking dead ass. Cunts. Anyway, sorry.
You said the C word.
I know. I'm gonna compose myself again. Okay, I'm composed. I can continue. But okay, I don't care if it's an art project or whatever. There's one thing in this world, two things that suck. The first thing are fucking pipe cleaners. Kids fucking hate pipe cleaners.
And along pipe cleaners are
popsicle sticks.
Popsicle sticks.
If the popsicle is not on the stick, throw the fucking stick away.
Yes.
Kids don't want the popsicle sticks. And you know what? The same people that have their kids play with popsicle sticks, they get just non-used popsicle sticks because popsicles have sugar in them. Can I get a frozen kale popsicle for my child? Fuck you. Hit you with my minivan.
You know what also
I need a cow catcher in the fucking minivan. Just hit him.
You know what else they're using?
What?
Cotton balls.
Probably. Yes, cotton balls are bad too. You know what? You dab shit with cotton balls. You don't make art out of it. God. Kids don't really like that either. They also have like a little section where they could like dress up models in like swaths of like weird fabrics. Okay,
I'm going to cross over. I might face your wrath, but I'm going to say it. Anyway. What? You know what kids I think do like?
No.
Macaroni art.
Occasionally.
I think. It's fun, right?
Not as much as a slide.
Well, slides could be injurious.
Or something to climb on.
Ah, there you go. Again, you could get hurt, but...
Or you know what? Or Legos.
Legos.
Legos are creative.
Yeah.
But they're... Mike,
they weren't there.
No, they weren't.
What, by the way,
fucking loom.
Why did you go to the museum today?
Because of Becky.
But what were you trying to see?
I don't know. Legos.
The Lego exhibit.
It doesn't exist.
How was the Lego exhibit?
There was no goddamn Lego
exhibit. There wasn't a Lego exhibit.
No, it didn't exist.
But you got to sit on the floor and see an 1,100-pound...
No, the boys did. I didn't sit on the floor.
You didn't sit on the floor.
I didn't. I backed up.
You were
up.
Worried about getting up.
I backed up and accidentally ran into a picture.
Like, did you knock it off the wall?
No, but I was like, what the fuck's in my back? Oh, it's a big fucking... Oh, shit! And I leaped around.
Jesus Christ, you're that guy.
Why don't they rope that shit off? That did not. That was not roped off.
Because most people don't run into the art.
Well, I know, but...
They realize they're at an art museum.
But that there was a big thing, a prism in the middle of the room that everybody's looking at. Well,
you know,
three people.
Only if Mrs. Warner, back in Liberty Union, could see you now, she would be ashamed. Your art teacher, Mrs. Warner.
Can I let you know a secret?
What's that?
I didn't take art, you dipshit.
It's because they don't offer art at Liberty Union.
They did. But I wasn't a hippie.
A hippie?
Yeah.
Are you coming up?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Coming up.
Well, folks, we're
going
to take a break, even though I really want to continue screaming.
To know.
And we'll be right back on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody. It's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault?
I know the Unlicensed does.
Well, that's great. Do you know how you can get that done? Do you know the one way the world can find out about the Wine Vault?
What way is that, Rob?
Giving us a review on iTunes. So, take the time. Give us that 5-star or whatever. Let us know. Let the world know that you love the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. Scott has made a revelation of what he would have done to the 17-year-old baby in Dirty Dancing.
No, to 27-year-old Jennifer Grey.
She was playing a 17-year-old. That's what you were looking at.
Oh.
You sick Jennifer bastard. Gray. You're a sick bastard.
Maniac
you should be
on the floor.
You know what? You should be a guitarist for The Who. That's all I'm saying.
I love The Who.
I bet you do.
It's more of a Roger Daltrey guy. But
yeah, I was just doing research. Put in my credit card number. Yes, you did. And you looked at kitty porn. What was his name? Peter Daltrey. No.
Townsend.
Townsend. Yeah, Pete Townsend. He got off a lot easier than that. Well, I mean, we know he got off. But still, he got out of trouble a lot easier than he should have. Apparently, the Brits cut more slack for paying for child pornography sites than the United States does.
Wow. There's also a story that he was a scapegoat for other actions, and that it was no worse porn than anybody else sees. So,
is that what you read on your?
He didn't go to jail.
Well, I know, that's what I'm saying. He got off easier. All those dark sites you're on, you're swapping pictures.
The dark intellectual web.
It's like, well, I'll give you two pics for one.
You're part of the dark intellectual web, you know that, right?
Yeah, that's what it is. Intellectual. Okay, you're Mensa, like you and Tom Herman, huh?
Tom Herman.
Yeah, Texas football
coach. The next
coach.
Ohio State coach.
You never. I think they might take him out and shoot him if they caught him.
He's going to be the next Ohio State.
But the Tamara Hill, Scott.
What are we doing with it?
Well, we're going to raid it. Then we're going to drink the rest of it and the Pinot. Then we'll go home.
Speaking of Pinot, we should mention an upcoming episode.
We should, but we won't. No, so,
I just cut you off.
Accept it.
Roll in.
No. I can't remember what the wine's name is. And we'll probably air it before this. So, chop chop.
Somehow I doubt it. I gotta believe this is going to roll up the queue.
Yes, because of my diatribe about Dirty Dancing. Yeah, that'll really get it to the top of the line.
Not because it's Tamara Hill.
That, but I already drank it. Do I want other people out there stealing my wine from me? No, probably not. So, Scott, Tamara Hill, 2015, from Bodegas Volver.
This is why we drink red wine.
It's very good.
You know, we haven't really put an entry-level price point on Mourvèdre because
What is that?
I mean, we've had some stuff that we were just
We know that,
and we have
Spanish
some stuff
in general is more economical.
It can be, right.
It really is.
Yeah, I think they have a $40 one. I would love to try it.
While we were off air, I looked at wine.com for Termez. Wine.com has it for $24.99 right now.
I bought it for $19.99 recently.
It's a great price.
Yeah.
That's fucking phenomenal.
That's Tempranillo, though. Yeah. Tempranillo, sorry.
Tempranillo. Monastra. Mouvedre. Mm-hmm. Oh, I want to go a little higher, but I'm not going to. I'm going to give it a 91.
Yeah.
It's the ageability.
I think you're keeping it, though. You're giving you more of a rational score than the Spectator and Dunnet Gus, because it's not a 93 or 92.
Well,
it's very good, but it's not a 93 or 92. There's no shame in saying, yes, this is a really great wine, but it has to be. It has to be something that changed our lives that we keep talking about. And Hecula is that wine.
Hecula's done that.
This is not that wine. This is very good, though.
I know. I want to. I'm going to buy more of this.
By the way, we gave the Hecula 93 and 92.
There you go. I want to score a little higher, though. If I ranged it, I'd probably go 90 to 92. I really would. I want to see what this is in 3 years, 5 years, 6 years.
Yep.
It's fantastic. The fruit that's there is nice, but the tannins in this are just fucking spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
They're grippy and drippy at the same time, right?
Grippy and drippy.
Grippy and drippy. It's like, do I need a shot for that?
Parker is on the phone right now.
Fuck Parker.
I know you would like to do that, but that's not really the point. We're not talking. This is not Red Shoes Diary time. You just focus Red on the wine. Just focus. We were across the table from one another, and Robert's hairpiece caught in the wind and blew up. And I looked at him, and he looked at me with his sausage fingers. And I just knew that was the moment.
We were at the bar. Together. David. Well, he was with someone else and I was with someone else, but David, we were at the bar together.
Yes, David Duchovny is reading this letter and literally vomits while he enclosed pictures of them. Oh no.
You need to work on your vomit impression.
I don't really want to have a good vomit impression. I'll never do it again, folks. I swear to God.
You didn't do an impression. You just said vomit.
That's enough. They don't need to hear. They know what that. Just listen to the Charles Shaw episode, and you'll know what vomit sounds like.
Why did I do a vomit impression?
I don't know why you did that, because you just don't know when to stop. Jesus,
this is really good. Are you going to do a review?
I am. Well, that's why I'm here. I'm here to give, and I'm going
to
give.
I thought you were here to lecture.
Yes, a part of my review is a lecture.
I thought you were here to judge society.
I'm here to actually give some credence and some class and some dignity and some.
I love credence.
Intellectual. I don't really like. I don't like credence. I don't like them at all.
See, I don't like their music. On the way.
And I don't like them.
Don't go home tonight.
Don't know why.
Bound to change your life.
Yeah, it's
there's a bad moon on the rise.
Are you done?
Yes.
I would give it a 90.
Okay.
I'm somewhere between 90 and 91, but I'm not at a 91.
Oh.
It's not powerful enough for 91. It's special. It's Hall of Fame.
It is special.
It's Hall of Fame, which is really good. But I think that, once again, we're bringing some rational thought to this. It's not a 92, 93. A 93 or 92 are things that really burn into the memory. This will not burn into the memory. It's great. I enjoy it. And quite frankly, I love its elegance. And I love the fact it's uptown. It doesn't taste like some rustic, you know, backwoods wine. It tastes like it tastes like something that is not... It's not manipulated, though. It just naturally is classy and elegant. I love that about it. I love the tannin. And quite frankly, like I said, it has some ageability, but it has a window. So, 3-4 years, yes. After that, don't leave it too long, though.
Folks.
It doesn't have 10 years.
One guy, honestly, when I brought this bottle in the Volver, maybe had a half dozen bottles. And when he saw these,
I was very excited.
There were almost tears in his eyes.
I was very excited.
But he's on the show. He's talked about Volver and their chops. As one of the winemakers that you just have to have experience with and in your cellar. Yep. And not disappointed. I hadn't had it before.
Yep.
Bought this on his selection. And, oh, by the way, it is a number 17 in Spectator's top 100.
90 plus, but a 90 plus. So 90, 91 I think is fair.
This is everything one could hope for.
I
don't
know that I would go to a 92, though. I'd go 89, 91. It would be in our range.
It's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
But
it's going to be $17.
It's sellable. Yeah.
This is one of the most sellable wines we've ever done on the show. Again, it's not going to last 10, 15 years, but this is a seller selection. Come on, son.
After 3 or 4 years, yes. I think that it... I would give it a few years to get where it needs to be, but then I would drink it quickly once it got there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
It's kind of like a mountain. Go up, 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 and then you get to the peak. That's where you want to go. And you want to hit it when it's at its peak, because then it goes right back down the mountain.
And I could see where this one doesn't have as long a window to hit it just right.
Well, but it doesn't have the overall girth, and that's really what keeps it out of the 92-93.
Yep.
And so when they're talking... Because it's not full-bodied.
Right.
It's not a fruit bomb either. I think it's balanced. It doesn't have one thing over another. But I would say it's borderline sexy. I never called a wine sexy before. I'd call it racy. But I think...
I've used sexy. But this is...
The elegance. Elegance.
This is... Yeah. This is... I wouldn't... And it's more elegant than racy or sexy.
It's just more elegant.
Yeah. It just... What... The fruit bomb part of it for me was where that fruit kind of popped in on the finish.
For sure.
That was so unusual that you had that expression of sweet fruit at the end of that wine. And
You know what? To be truthful, if I had to cater a really great dinner, high-end dinner, but I had a budget and I couldn't go and buy whatever I wanted.
This would be a selection that you might consider making.
Even if I could buy anything I wanted.
Well, you'd probably go Numantia first.
Numantia can be a little bit rustic. I would have to taste each one just to be sure.
God damn it. Well, quality control.
Yeah, it is.
Jesus.
I mean, but Hecula is out because it would
kill people. People aren't going to like it.
No, and it is what it is. It exists only for itself. It is art. Hecula is art. It has no purpose other than itself.
Well.
I mean, this, though.
And to be $12 and... Kick everybody's ass, and in 10 years, it's going to be fucking amazing.
It'll piss on 10 years. This, though, I think is one of those wines that it's really going to impress anybody no matter what. You know the dummies that like, I'm sorry, the people that like Meiomi?
No, they're not going to like this. Because they don't like red wine.
But Scott, they might be fooled by this, and they would think that they should like it. That's as good as we can get.
Jesus.
I mean, you know.
You're giving them too much credit.
They drive their Buick LaCrosses and they think that Meiomi is good. You can buy it at Walmart, but you know, what the hell?
Meiomi drinkers drive Regals.
The Regals have an edge to them. They really do. And even LaCrosses have an edge. Actually, they probably drive an older Lucerne, Buick Lucerne.
Oh, Jesus.
My grandfather drove a Lucerne. Then got rid of it and got a LaCrosse, and then recently traded that LaCrosse even up for a 3-year lease on an F-150. I told you about that, didn't I?
You did.
I did. Nice one. And that says what a LaCrosse is worth. It's worth a lease of something else. I don't know how that actually applies to wine. But then again, what does Leatherface driving a bulldozer have to do with wine?
That's how you started the episode.
Isn't it fun how you can say things and you get into a like a tangent. And then you realize the tangent exists only for itself. There is no way to bring it back.
You mean what you said was completely meaningless? Unlike everything I say, that when I say things that are meaningless, I get freaking, yes. Don't hate. Where's my NAS song when I need it?
But what I said was interesting, but it was interesting only in the fact really that it existed. Really?
Was it interesting?
It was interesting because I said it. That's the difference.
Oh, okay.
When you say it, not interesting. When I say it, it is. It's just the way it is when you're me. So, folks, I hate to end this episode because I have far more to say, but I won't. For Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver, and Rob, the wine guy, we have another Hall of Fame wine, a 91 or 92. Volver.
Don't be a hater, Rob. Don't be a hater, babe.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Do you think a really hard-ass song like that applies to you?
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't.
For sure.
You drive an MDX, for Christ's sake.
I'm a hard man.
You're a hard man. Yeah, that's a lot of people say that. I hear that about you. Yeah.
Well,
I mean, you hang around Lamont. I mean, that you're tough compared to Lamont. I mean, you're a hard man compared to Lamont. Lamont, how long would he last in the county jail?
Which time?
You'd make friends.
Which time?
I mean, in fairness, you would make friends in the county jail.
I have friends in the county jail.
You probably do, but Lamont would not make friends in the county jail.
Well, maybe.
He wouldn't call them friends. He would make friends, but...
You're a bad man.
He wouldn't be his friend. You just make friends. It's a credit to you.
Is it?
It's better than the alternative. So, folks, jeez, we're going to bid you adieu.
You're a bad man.
I know. And see you next time on The Wine Vault. Good night.